systems that we're going to be showing you today are part of a suite of software that we've put in place to handle our basically all our CRA operations. We have something that's going to be shown to you today that's focusing on the actual LA CRA application. We'll have to fight with the CDC about the name, about who owns it. But we have that system, the facility profile application, which you'll see, as well as inventory system that I'll describe to you. But all those applications together are part of our integrated suite that we've been utilizing inside the county for CRA operations. And they were have been in development for several years, and what you'll see is the output of the most recent versions of those. So like I said, to address not only CRA requirements that came from the CDC, but also our local preparedness needs, things that were identified as very critical requirements from our own personnel, the Department of Public Health established a collection of systems to support different activities. For inventory management and supply chain activities, we actually customized a COT solution, and that is our SNS inventory management system. For mass vaccination and prophylaxis campaign and operations and management, we developed our LinkPT application, which is now labeled as LACRA until it changes again. The POD pre-planned management site selection, again in LA County, given our significant size and distribution of different sites where we could possibly do CRA type of operations, we had to try to identify sites in advance. And in order to do that and capture information on each of the sites where we might be doing these type of POD operations, we developed a website where not only the facility owners, but also our own personnel and even the contract personnel could help us to aggregate some of this information in advance so we could have it ready for site selection when we needed it during an actual event. These three applications were all integrated into our county's FIN architecture, with a lot of support from our vendor partners. We have it all tied back to a FIN directory. We're leveraging our messaging services and our messaging engine that we have inside of our architecture, and even utilizing web services from our county's GIS central service. For some of the details on the SNS system, we have leverage the COT solution is from a company called Business Information Systems. We took a supply chain product that was used for general warehouse operations, and they actually were a local vendor, and we adapted to the needs of SNS. We came up with very extensive requirements. HLN Consulting, of which Mike is a part of, actually had some of their members actually assist us in capturing a very significant set of requirements that we turned over to the vendor and had the vendor implement on our behalf. And that was intended to not only support the receipt of the SNS, but also the management of local caches that we maintain within LA County, and any vendor-managed inventory. We have a lot of relationships with private vendors and partners and that have already committed that they would be providing certain caches of medication to us. And in order to enable that, we've implemented certain capabilities inside of the SNS to allow for that. Version 2 was just released in June 2008 and was used in a very recent functional SNS exercise. It went fairly well in terms of managing our warehouse operations. We had set up both warehouse operations and some small pod sites so we can actually show the actual movement of material and medications from one site to another. It actually helped to facilitate a great deal about the warehouse operations that were going on. Our LA CRA application, like I talked about, is a very flexible web-based solution that we developed with the assistance of HLN Consulting. It supports, again, the mass vaccination prophylaxis campaigns. We're in production. We have version 1.5. It's what we used last year for our exercise. We successfully tested it during our pandemic influenza reporting exercise. And very similar to what Dr. Romanowski went over, we actually did an exercise by which we had both data entry and piloted at the time the use of scanning technologies, giving people paper forms, because it wasn't really something that we saw feasibly with our support capabilities in terms of IT, and the resources that the facility owners would have, that we would be able to deploy laptops to every one of these locations. LA County is a very, very significantly large jurisdiction. So in order to accommodate that, we allowed for paper forms to be filled out, and those forms were provided back to our representatives. We scanned those in and then took a mass data uploaded and uploaded to the system. So we actually tested both versions. We did about 500 or 600 actually data entry forms on that day. We had just-in-time training provided with about an hour or two-hour training session the day before the exercise. On the day of the exercise, we had seven people who knocked out the 600 forms in about 2.5 hours, and that's with very limited exposure to the application. And you'll see what the application provides in terms of flexibility to be able to allow for that kind of a quick uptake on learning for the application. What you're going to see today is the version that's going to be released in September 2008. We're in just the final versions of aspects of quality assurance and testing, and that's going to be our version 3.0. We actually combined a set of 2.0 and 3.0 versions into one big release that we're putting out in September, and that's going to be used in our upcoming DAX participation. The system provides support for real-time data entry and, again, mass uploads of scanned form data that comes from a teleform software which we're using. And that was widely deployed within LA County before the actual application was developed. The facility profile application itself, which is the third system that makes up the suite, or comprises the suite, is a web-based solution, again, that was developed in cooperation with HLN Consulting as well. As part of our development activities, we recognized that this was a significant need in our as our requirements were being developed, and we extracted it as a critical system requirement that we had to push forward on. It supports data capture and distributed management of facility pre-plans. I'm not sure if that's a common term among your jurisdictions, but it's something that's widely used in our areas in LA County. And the pre-plan basically is all the critical information or attributes about a specific facility that are pre-identified before we have to do any operations in those locations. And again, because of the widespread and the variability of the locations and facilities that we might need to use, we had to capture that information in one location. Version 1X, I put 1X because I can't remember all the versions we're on right now. We're on 1.2 or 1.3, I think, on facility profile, I believe. But it's actually right now being currently used to support a mass data collection effort. It's a very significant effort in LA County, so we actually do have a contractor that's actually going out to all these facilities and capturing all the information that we see in the surveys, and we're targeting about 250 locations by beginning of next year. We have about, I think, 50 to 75 locations already uploaded to some degree with information on the site, with more to come. Future enhancements to that system are going to be supporting data capture on facilities for other response needs, and as you see the application, you'll see what the other applications are for it with regard to alternate care centers, mobilization centers, and evacuation shelters. So one thing before we go on to the demo, I'm just going to turn it over to Mike really quickly, but the design principles for all these applications was flexibility, configurability, usability. We can't stress that enough. We were trying to make sure that this could be highly usable and easy to train people on at the moment's notice. So everything is highly optimized to allow for that. And in order to, again, not reinvent the wheel and leverage all the capabilities that we had already existing within the jurisdiction, we leverage web services and messaging capabilities for integration and interoperability between these different solutions. So I'm going to just turn it over to my partner in crime here for today, Mike Sharalik from HLN Consulting. He was paramount in the efforts to try to get the LinkBT component in particular up and running. So, Mike.
Can everyone hear me? Is that better? Okay. Let me just toggle this so that I can see it on my screen as well, so that I can face you. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to turn around, unfortunately. Sorry about this.
I made sure Mike pressed the shirt on the back so that if he had to do this, it'd be some
plans. Take a good look at me. This is the last time you're gonna see me for the next 20 minutes. Okay.
Some people might say it's a good thing.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to demonstrate a second. First, we're going to start with the facility profile application. So let's go to the login. Okay, so the first thing that you do when you identify a facility that you, or one of these 250 facilities that public health might need to activate for emergency response as a point of dispensing or alternate care, is initiate this pre-plan. So we're going to enter some very basic information to identify it. So we'll call it ABC Arena 100 Main Street in Glendale. Zip code. And you choose the community or city that it's located in, and whether it's city-owned and operated or county or federal or whatnot. And then after you do that, you get a confirmation screen. And as David said, this is in production right now. And the one enhancement that we've decided to make to this, since it's been deployed in production, is to integrate this with Los Angeles County's GIS system. And as soon as that's completed, what'll happen is you'll see a link here that says Show on Map. And when you click on that, it'll open up something like this, and it'll show you where the ABC Arena is positioned geographically within the city. The next thing you do is you come into the Manage the Pre-Plan, and I apologize for talking fast, but I am gonna go pretty quickly. And afterwards, I should mention that there are, David, if he hasn't posted it yet, he will be posting on the conference website approximately 50 screenshots of the two applications. And when you walked in, there should have been a two-sided handout for each of these two applications if you want to have something tangible to walk away with. So here down the left side, you have all of the questions and information about this particular facility organized into chapters. And there are literally dozens, maybe hundreds of questions that can be answered and other content that could be uploaded about a particular facility. And so it's very flexible and robust in that way. But we wanted to make sure that the data was organized in some kind of standard format. So regardless of which facility you're looking at, you know that you always have the same chapter you can refer to if you're interested in roadway access information about a particular facility. So the right side shows the detail information based on whatever chapter you've selected on the left. So I'm going to select the subchapter that deals with the exterior physical security. And as you can see, there's a lot of information here. Is there a fence? Yes. Does the barrier limit access? Yes. Are the gates solid? Are they locked properly? No, they're not. Let me elaborate on that. Gates locked only during the week, Monday through Friday. So, and then it says, view edit. So now you have that other information there about that. Are the gate hinges secure? Yes, and so on. And then there's more and more information. And this is all just about exterior physical security, and then there's all those other chapters as well. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to show all that to you. But once you enter this kind of information about the particular facility, then it becomes useful when you need to activate a facility. So let's assume that somebody spilled weaponized anthrax in a park in Glendale. And now you have to activate one of these facilities and distribute some anthrax vaccine and maybe Cipro and doxycycline. And let's further assume that some homes were contaminated and people are going to be hungry, can't return home to eat. So we hope that this facility has a kitchen and that maybe it has internet access, because we're going to be using the LACRA application to key enter information about what was distributed to those people. So we'll do that by selecting facilities that are in Glendale. And now there's, as I mentioned, there's like hundreds of survey questions. So rather than hunt and find which question you're interested in, you could literally search on the questions. So it's saying, show me all the questions that have the word kitchen in them. So there's one question that simply says, kitchen facility, like, do you have one? And so that we're interested in the answer to that, and we want facilities that answered yes. And now we also want to find questions that include the keyword internet. So there's actually two questions. Does the building provide internet connectivity, and how many rooms offer internet connectivity? So we're interested in the answer to the former question. So we'll say yes. And now I'm going to do my search. So these are the three facilities that meet those criteria. They're all in Glendale. They all have a kitchen, and they all have internet access. And again, once this is integrated with GIS, you click on a link here that says Show on Map. And then here is that information. Here's the Amber Park Recreation Center, the San Andreas, and there's Ford Public Center. Now, this happens to be the park where somebody dumped the anthrax, so you may decide that you would like to use Ford Public Center because you happen to know that this is an impoverished community where people don't necessarily own cars and can't drive out to Amber Park, so here they could just walk to Ford Public Center. Now, you want to drill down on Ford Public Center to either further evaluate it and make sure this is really the site that's appropriate, or to start preparing to activate it and know what you'll be faced with when you get there. So let's go look at the chapter of supporting documents. And you'll see here that we have, an aerial view close-up of what that looks like. We also have a parking plan. So presumably there'll be somebody out standing in the parking lot with this piece of paper in a hand showing them where cars should go in, where they should go out, how the car should be lined up so you can make maximum use of that space. You'll also want to know about mass transit options. Maybe if there are no mass transit options, you'll rethink whether or not you really want to use this facility. And facility logistics table, this is going to tell you that there's 300 folding chairs and 100 stacking chairs, but if you need a forklift, you better bring one because it doesn't have one. So that's all the types of information that you could upload to here, pretty much any kind of image file at all. And then what I'm about to show you now is that you can actually use this tool to develop some of this rich content, which is really interesting. So let me find for you now the ABC arena that we just created. And let me go to the, this is the place where you upload files and then you could make use of them in various ways. So I'm going to browse to my hard drive where I've uploaded some photos that I've taken and diagrams and whatnot. And there, the upload's completed. And now what I'm doing is I'm essentially choosing to move all of these pictures into the chapter that deals with dispensing plans. So here's my dispensing plan. And now let me go to the dispensing plan. Here's the dispensing plan link. And I'm sorry if people can't see this in the back. There's plenty of space up front if you want to move. And if you're interested, I could stick around after the session and show you so you could see better. But here it says dispensing process flow and workstation diagram, no pages found. So what I'm going to do is create with a wizard a page of information about this. So I want portrait, I want the default size. And now this is a customized tool that we built within this application. How many people are familiar with Visio? Yes? No? Okay, good. So this is similar to Visio, except it's web-based. And it's integrated right into this application. So what I'm going to do now is pull up some images, the ones that I just uploaded from my hard drive. So I'm going to choose the this is the beginning of a process, dispensing process flow. Let me widen this. And let's see, what else do I want to do? I want to pull up the miscellaneous tools. Okay, here we go. So let's say first aid. We know that we're going to have a first aid station in this particular room right here. And so like, let's say it was an earthquake instead of an anthrax spill, that you might have people coming with broken bones and whatnot, and you want to know where the first aid supplies are. Food, where's your kitchen? Because like we said, we're going to be feeding some of these people. So there's my kitchen. Handicapped access is here at this entrance. That's where the ramp's located. And we're going to need security at each of these entrances around the building. Let's see, what else would we want to know? If this was an earthquake, you may have a gas leak. And if that's the case, you're going to want to be able to shut off the gas. So let's pull up a photograph of the electric box. Oops, I'm sorry, let me show you the undo feature. So here's the electric box, and then the gas shutoff. And then I want to draw a line, and let's make that a thick red line. From here to the gas shutoff is, the electrical box is in that closet, and the gas shutoff is in that closet. And finally, let's create what we call a hot spot. So we don't necessarily want to see this right now, but if somebody clicks on this, we want them to be able to see where the conference room is located. So the conference room is right here. So I made that a clickable spot now. And now I'm going to save this. And it's asking me to verify that I included all the required elements. So I'll check off, yes, I did. And now I'm going to save this. And now you see it said no pages found, and now it says dispense process flow and workstation diagram. So let's view it and see what it looks like. And here's the diagram that I created, forever preserved in this location that's centrally accessible to anybody who has a web browser and internet connectivity. And I can click on this hotspot that I created, and it shows me what the conference room looks like. So this is just one example of the type of information you could upload here. And then if you needed to grab somebody who's going to be the pod manager and say, okay, here, go set this up, and this is what you can expect when you get there, and this is how you need to operate it, you can essentially print the report. And when you print the report, it's going to look like this. And this report for this pod is 54 pages. And here's the answers to all the various questions. Here's the photographs, interior, exterior, with schematics. There's various map views, aerial views, street map views, parking. There's your tables and forklifts and whatnot. And you can actually have multiple versions of these plans for each facility. So you can have one for, like, if you're using it for an earthquake, and one if you're using it for an anthrax spill. So I guess that's my quick version of what this can do. It also has the ability to have approval and sign-off and on various features. It has very fine-grained access control, so you can say that certain people have access to only certain parts of this information. And I don't know, David, if there's anything else you want to say about it.
Again, the core of this, obviously, is that there's a lot of information that we have to collect. We weren't just collecting it on our own. There's a lot of people who have actually been contributing to this information gathering component, but we have relationships with the fire department within LA County and LA City that are helping with blueprints for all facilities, because as for hazmat certification for most of the facilities in LA County, most of the key buildings, either we can get those from our urban planning department or regional planning department, as well as our fire department. So they've contributed to this effort to provide us with all the schematics for most of the facilities that we're putting onto the site. And we do have a dedicated contractor that's actually helping us to collect the information on all these facilities. You do this for 20 facilities, it's time consuming. If you do it for 250, it's killer. So we obviously have to have a lot of resources to help us with the initial update and upload of this stuff. And then eventually, the facility owners will helping us with updates periodically to make sure that the information stays current.
I'm just going to see if I can make this a little bigger. Actually, I'm going to start demonstrating the second application, which is the CRA application. Oh, that looks good. Okay. So functionally, this is very similar to the CDC application that Jeannie Tropper and Dr. Vanasky were talking about. User interface is a little different, and it does have some differences, but it's in the same family of applications built to serve the same set of purposes. So let's assume that, again, you have some kind of anthrax event, and you need a campaign now to respond to that. And as both Jeannie and Dr. Romanowski were saying, that you could have a variety of different types of responses. Depending on the size of the campaign. You could have a short campaign for an office building that lasts a day, and you could have a campaign that lasts a year for pandemic flu. And in those circumstances, you're going to want to collect different types of data. And so this campaign manager allows an administrator to come in at the beginning of the campaign and specify what kinds of data needs you're going to have. So let me create one called Brax spill. So now we've added this initial piece of information, and now you get to configure your patient demographics, your vaccinations, and your medications. And so what you're doing here is you're making a couple different decisions. You're deciding which of these fields of information are going to appear on the screen for data entry or not, because if it's a mass, you know, a huge response, you may decide, I don't even want to clutter my screen with all these fields that would distract the data entry folks. And then if it is going to show up on the screen, is it required or optional? So you're also building in the data validation rules into this. And you can do that both for the vaccinations, medications, and demographics. Furthermore, the order of the fields. So the fields are going to be laid out in a vertical fashion, as you'll see in a couple moments. And you may want those fields lined up in a certain way, especially if you've collected the data on paper first, and then you're key entering into the system afterwards at some central location. You would like them to match up with each other to facilitate rapid data entry and make sure that people aren't making errors putting the data in the wrong fields. And that actually is something that had its inception in the presentation, Jeannie, that New Hampshire gave last year, where they commented on that would be something that would be useful. So these conferences have been at least very useful for us. Okay, so let me show you an example of, here's about 20 different types of demographic information that can be collected. As you see, encounter date, first name, last name, middle name, date of birth, and gender are always required. Middle name is always optional, and everything else is up to the user's discretion. And not the end user, this is the person, the super user or administrator who's configuring the campaign. So they may decide, okay, let's leave all these optional except for other ID. We know we're not going to need that. Let's make that hidden. Zip code, for whatever reason, I want to move that up to the top of the list. So let's do that. And for this particular application, this one we're actually going out over the internet via my feeble wireless card right here. So this one's going to look a little bit sluggish, but with a broadband connection, it's much faster than it demonstrates right now. Let's also swap first name and last name. I want to make last name above the first name. So let's reorder that. And you'll see them change order. So now last name's above first name. Now let's move on to the vaccinations and click add. And then my wireless card does its thing and we get anthrax. And you can do a similar thing here where you choose required or hidden or optional and change the order. And then you're gonna wanna save anthrax and then it's gonna move anthrax off to the left side. You could add multiple vaccinations. Here we're gonna add some medications. Let's add doxycycline and more of the same here in terms of required and optional. So let's save doxycycline. And you can also do Cipro. Because if you combine doxycycline and Cipro, you can actually do a 3-dose series of the anthrax vaccine instead of a 6-dose if you don't use the meds. So let's save that. So let's save the campaign and go to the main menu. Okay, so now that's something theoretically you would only do once. I mean, you can, if you change your mind, make changes to that, but for the most part, you're gonna do that one time. Now let's pretend, shift gears here, assume that you're the nurse or the data entry person on site at that pod that you saw in that facility profile application a couple minutes ago. Okay, and so what you do is you go into the, you got 1,000 people lined up outside the door waiting to come in, and you're gonna set your defaults because a lot of the information that you're gonna be keying in is gonna be the same all day long, and there's no point in typing that in over and over again. So first you choose a region. There's 8 regions in Los Angeles County, so we'll choose region 1. Let's say we're at the College of the Canyons, and then let's put in some information here about anthrax. There's Cipro and there's doxycycline, and so you could toggle between the two of them. So I'm gonna choose a lot, and 10, left arm. So typically I'm gonna do an intradermal injection in the left arm. That's the VIS sheet. Let's see, my name is Dietra Polly, and here's another lot, 10. Doses per day, 3, set my defaults. No, because you're just setting your defaults. This is the stuff that you only want to have to do once. And now we're going to go to the record entry screen. So this gets it, like Dr. Romanowski was talking about how data entry is labor intensive. So we did everything we could to kind of make it as least intensive as possible. So now you see when you come into this record entry screen, all of your default values are already populated. Here's your campaign, your region, your pod, you know, the health officer. Down the right here is your Cipro and your anthrax and your doxycycline. And now you just have to put in the patient information. So we put in the zip code and last name and Mike and John. And then here we have patient category. Patient category, these are the categories that the CDC has specified that you would use for a pandemic flu scenario. So let's say he's a first high risk, gender is male, and then you can plug in, I want to show you about something about street address in a second, the main street, Glendale, and race, ethnicity. Okay, so now, here's something I wanted to point out. Here, medication dispensed to someone other than the patient. So this is something you were talking about, Dr. Romanowski, that if somebody showed up at the pod accepting information on behalf of the patient. So the patient information would be on the left, and on the right you're filling out the name of the parent who or whoever is picking up it for them. And here you might say the patient showed rash at injection site, something like that. And then you add it. And so now you're saving the patient demographics, the vaccination record, and the medication record, and you essentially get this information on the right for free, because you've set your defaults. So now you can come in here and look at the patient's record and see how it's organized. But this patient's not particularly interesting because he really only has one encounter. So let me quickly, I'm almost done, show you, oh, that's not where I want, find patient. So Mr. Martinez is a first responder, an EMT technician, and he actually has been dispatched to numerous, what's that about? Oh, that's unfortunate. Let me try one more time. Wait, am I connected? Let me check, make sure I'm still connected to the internet. Oh, no, I'm not. Give me one second here. Does anyone have any questions? This is just going to take 30 seconds. No questions? Another thing that I'll show you in a second.
Can you pre-register patients?
No, you cannot pre-register. David?
I guess still talking through the options about exactly how we approach the same way that Dr. Romanowski talked about. I think there's just not consensus yet about how we would approach that type of issue. So the facility hasn't been provided to us in the informatics area about how we would proceed about adding that capability. But if it's so decided by the health officer, that this was something we'll go forward on with, incorporate that.
And do you import data, a nurse
home? Yes. So the imports are fairly easy. I mean, we had talked about initially about trying to have some type of mass import feature. The difficulty was trying to account for all the different types of data formats and the types of data we get. So we have facility for people who would be able to do that in the back end, but it's not included into the solution itself.
Okay, well, let me show you. I can't get to that particular patient, but let me just quickly show you that you can also generate a CDC aggregate doses report. This is the type of report that Jeannie was talking about that you'll need to generate and send to them during your exercise later this year. And you actually have to select Saturdays and Sundays because that's how the CDC likes to get their data. This is 2000 and preview. Okay, so this is what the output of this looks like. This is the XML format. So what if I click save the file, I could save this to a hard drive and then log into the CDC CRA application and upload it, and then they have all their aggregate data that they were looking for. Now, we also have a vaccination medication counts report, and here's what the report looks like when you generate it. I did one ahead of time to do it faster. So here you have a breakdown of, this is the anthrax July 2007 campaign, and you can select which vaccines and which medications you're interested in, what regions, which pods, and then you can break down the data in four different ways: race, ethnicity, age groups, triage, and gender. And then once you do it those three different ways, you can also choose to aggregate the data at the pod level, the region level, or jurisdiction wide. So you have 12 different ways you can run the report. And the triage I should have shown you, because Dr. Romanesco was talking about that, which you can actually do there. Let me see if I can really get back to it quickly. Okay, so here with triage, you can indicate that you gave standard dispensing, or they were routed to evaluation because they had some kind of risk factor, and then you decided it's okay, you can give them the pharmaceutical or medication. Or you didn't actually give it to them because it was refused, or you didn't give it to them because it was contraindicated. And then you can generate the summary report and show that, you know, how many people received this medication who were standard dispensing, how many received it and were evaluated to be given, and hopefully how many people received it but but were evaluated and refused it or contraindicated. That should be zero. But if it's not, then you know you have a problem, and you can try and match these up against the paper forms that you had them fill out when they signed whatever screening process they went through. Yeah. Oh, and one last thing is that HL7 sends out outbound HL7 messages. So if you want to integrate this with some other application like your SNS system, you could say, we gave out 100 doses of this particular vaccine today, and the SNS system would then know that your inventory was running low and you need to put another crate on a truck and send it out to the facility.